God has promised forgiveness to all who truly repent, turn to Christ in faith, and are themselves forgiving. In silence, let us call to mind our sins. These words are read out every Sunday morning at our 10:30 liturgy before we make our confession together. Today's New Testament readings are a commentary on and further explanation of what they mean. The dialogue between Peter and Jesus is about forgiveness in the church. It's not about forgiveness as something offered to outsiders who've transgressed against church members. It assumes that the person who has requested forgiveness or who is in need of forgiveness is genuinely repentant. This is one of those parts of the gospel that's so clear and yet so stark and demanding in its requirements that it's impossible to be clever or sophisticated in one's explanation of it. Quite simply, God has forgiven us with a generous magnanimity and so expects us to be similarly generous in our forgiveness of the brother or sister for whom Christ died. This is the ground of our life together in the church. The 77 times that Jesus gives as his answer shows how the amount of forgiveness and the frequency of it being offered is beyond calculation. You can't get it down to a formula or a quota. Similarly, the story that Jesus then went on to tell about the man who owed 10,000 talents is talking about a sum of lotto prize-like dimensions. The New English Bible translation that came out in the 1960s rather quaintly talked about the man who owed £1 million. You could add several noughts to that now. He emerged from that encounter with the king with a transformed situation, but was he similarly internally transformed? Apparently not. The next person he encountered, who owed him a sum of piffling comparison, received short shrift. He was cruel and as merciless in his dealings with him, and this provokes a revolt and a complaint from the other servants, whose appeal to the king brings about the final showdown. The take-home message couldn't be clearer. If your dealings with other Christians are all justice and no mercy, then that's what you'll receive in turn from God. The amount you measure out is the amount you'll receive back. We all owe a huge debt to God who has forgiven it, and this should be the basis of our life together in the church, the place and the community where, as Jesus said, causes of stumbling are bound to arise. The Romans reading comes towards the end of the epistle. There have clearly been some major disagreements amongst the members of the church in Rome, though it's not so clear to us what they were about. Isn't it the case that often we look back on what appear to be big deals in our contests with others in earlier parts of our lives and we wonder to ourselves now, what was all that about? At first glance, you might think that what Paul was getting at is that we're all interconnected, that in the famous words of John Donne, no man is an island. But in fact, he's on about something quite different. The punchline is that alive or dead, we belong to the Lord. We belong to God. Our relationship to each other in the church is determined by our mutual belonging to Christ. He sought us out and found us and claimed us. Because of that vertical dimension of strong faith in the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the horizontal dimension of our belonging to each other in his community is established. Again, the quality of our interactions with each other in the church is established by the style and content of the way he relates to each one of us on an individual basis in our Christian walk of faith. In the case of the Roman Christians, the appeal is to be tolerant with one another in contentious areas, particularly if they're not a matter of utterly essential concerns about how to be a Christian. Let go of your sense of self-importance. Get out of the mindset of being only able to see your point of view and be prepared to cut each other some slack. That's the pragmatic content of what Paul is getting at here. Yet in the 15th chapter of Romans, just a few verses on, that unfortunately we were not treated to this morning, he goes on to a more profound point. The verse, accept one another just as Christ accepted you to the glory of God the Father, could, I think, be read out with profit at every Christian marriage service. In the case of Christian marriage, I think it means give up the struggle to make your partner just like you, who has to agree with you in every particular. Rejoice and be glad in their points of difference. How rich the world seems when I look out on it with your eyes, seeing it from your unique perspective, noticing things in it that I never saw before. And when I do that, I escape the cage of the self. I can escape the burden of my own self-preoccupations and my limited perspective on things. The world then becomes a more interesting and varied and rewarding place to be. For Christian married people, that means rejoicing too in the way one's partner has a different way of exercising their Christian walk and of being a Christian. For Anglicans, this rejoicing in diversity has become a big issue. The Anglican world is no longer homogeneous, an Anglophone or Kiwi world where we know approximately where everyone is coming from. In just over a century, we've become a worldwide church of incredible diversity and many different perspectives. That's particularly the case now that the Asian varieties of Anglicanism are coming on stream and becoming established in the councils of our communion. You don't have to travel overseas or to read up on latest Anglican developments to see this. Asian immigration has transformed New Zealand churches, breathing new life into them. Coming back to the main point of today's gospel reading about forgiveness in the church, every parish has its particular strengths and weaknesses, its points of gospel fidelity and points of resistance to the gospel. Father Carl had an amusing way of referring to St. Peter's Caversham's Achilles heel. It was the dramatic phrase, "I'm hurt, hurt, hurt." He was referring to a tendency to take offence quickly and easily, to hang on to perceived slights and injustices, and to fight it hard to let go of them and be reconciled. That in turn goes hand in hand with another ungospel-like trait, a delight in fault-finding and a critical spirit. There's a prayer that will be part of this morning's intercessions at the 10:30 service that gets to the heart of the matter here. Give to the church grace to speak the word of pardon and to show its power by her example. Let all who confess the faith of Christ acknowledge the mercy they have received, and in all things be slow to find fault with others, quick to forgive offences. May God give us grace to live by this prayer in our life together as God's beloved children in this parish. Spoken in the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.